Let's open our Bible, shall we, to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 is where we left off last week. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand. One of these gentlemen will hand one to you so you can follow along with us. We are in Revelation chapter 22. We are picking up in verse 12. The hope was to finish the book of Revelation today, but as your pastor always does, we're only going to look at a few verses. Because God definitely put a message on my heart that I think is going to be timely for all of us here today. And then we also have to partake of communion, so we don't want to spend too much time, so that we can spend time with the Lord remembering what he's done for us, because it's always a good thing to do. Revelation chapter 22. If you're a bookmarker, we're also going to make our way to Philippians chapter 3 and John chapter 14. Philippians 3 and John chapter 14. So bookmark your Bibles there. By the clock on my pulpit, we're already an hour late. So I'll go by that clock. Revelation 22, let us once again bow our hearts and ask the Lord to bless this time as we study his word. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for prayer. And we know, God, with all of our hearts, when the two of those things come together, your word and prayer, that you will speak to us. And so with great expectation, great anticipation, we come to you this morning asking you to speak into our lives. God, we want to be those Christians that are faithful, those Christians that are obedient, those Christians that are always listening and sensing the direction of your Holy Spirit. So God, as we study your word this morning, as we read these scriptures, God, I pray that they would get into our hearts and come out of our lives. We don't want to be hearers of your word only. We want to be doers of your word. So I pray for each and every person in this room and for those that may be listening, God, that you would speak powerfully and boldly into us and empower us, Lord, to accomplish your will. So have your time in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to talk about rewarded obedience. I think one of the greatest things in our churches and our world is obedience to the Lord. And, you know, from a very young age, we're taught that if we are obedient, we shall be rewarded. If you think back in your childhood and the things that you learned growing up in life, when you did something that your parents told you, possibly you were rewarded. And just kind of show you, I've got a few pictures here. If you eat all your dinner, you'll get dessert. Right? I can distinctly remember a time, and my mother will swear to this day that she did not do this, but I remember eating goulash for dinner. And at that time, I didn't like goulash. I like it now. And my mother said, you cannot leave the table until you finish your goulash. And in my mind, it was hours I sat at that table. It's just, if you eat your dinner, you'll get dessert. I'm so thankful now that I can make my own dessert and make my own dinner and eat dessert before dinner if I want to. But those are things that we learn. If you eat your dinner, you'll get dessert. Number two, I said, if you finish your chores around the house, you'll get your allowance. Remember doing those things? I remember having to clean our toy room. Oh, what a mess that room was. And then this one always, Elvis, if you clean your room, you can go outside and play. You know, and some of you have older kids that are still having a hard time cleaning their rooms, right? I see some parents, still. But that obedience, that thing that we learned at such a young age, still applies today. Even in the kingdom of God, even in the house of God, even as Christians, God says, listen, if you obey me, I will protect you. If you follow my word, there'll be fruit that will be produced out of your life. So that obedience that we want to offer to God or walk in for God, we know that there's benefit to that. God doesn't just tell us to do things because he wants to see if we'll do it or not. God says, if you do this, I promise you a good outcome. And so that obedience is so important. Obedient behavior gets rewarded. And we have to remember that. Why is it that we generally don't like to follow rules? Why are we like that? You know, it's like somebody tells you to do something, and immediately we want to say, well, why am I having to do that? For what reason? You know, we question it, or we go against the rules. I don't know about you, but when I go to the dentist, every single time I sit down to have my teeth cleaned, I know she's going to ask me if I flossed my teeth. And it's like, do I lie and then repent, or do I tell the truth and just take the consequence? Are you flossing? I don't like to floss. It's a simple task. And they say if you floss your teeth, you'll have healthy teeth. But I just don't want to do it when they tell me to do it. Why is it we want to go against the rules? Obedient behavior gets rewarded, and that is exactly what God wants for you and what he wants for me. Obedient behavior because God said so. Listen, we're infallible. We make mistakes. We're human, but God doesn't. When God says do this, when we read in his word, live this way, act this way, there's a reason behind it. There's a greater purpose behind it, and we can trust in that. As hard as it might be to be obedient to God, we just know that that's what is best for us. Again, God doesn't say, I want you to do these things so I can laugh at you trying to do it. He says, if you do these things, there'll be fruit that will be produced out of your life. Rewarded obedience is what we see in Revelation chapter 22. Picking up in verse 12, we're going to read four verses and four verses only. Revelation 22 and verse 12, red letters, if you have a red letter Bible, says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Pause there. Give me your attention. Rewarded obedience. Here Jesus is coming back on the scene in our chapter and saying the same thing he said once before. He will say it once again before we close the book. He's saying, behold, I am coming quickly. It's a reminder for us that our Bibles tell us that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and when he does, it's going to be quick. And for those of us that still live today, it's a reminder for us there's stuff to be done. There's work to be doing. There's our Father's business to be working on. And for us to think, am I being obedient in every area of my life? Listen, we're all a work in progress, are we not? Not one of us could stand up and say, I've got it all figured out. I've accomplished every single task that God's ever asked me. No, we're working on things. And are we being obedient in every area of our lives? Are we being obedient in our finances? Are we being obedient in our relationships with others, with our spouses, with our children, with our parents? Are we being obedient in all of the things that God tells us to be obedient in? Are we following in his path? Jesus says, I'm coming quickly, so make sure you are obedient. Because listen, if you're obedient, you'll get a reward for it. And I believe with all my heart that the reward that God's going to give will be so worth it. You know, I've been working out at Orange Theory lately, and they have what they call, I hope I can say this word in church. The Bible says it, so I figure it's okay. They have what they call Hell Week, the last week up until Halloween, and it's really tough workouts. And they say if you work out 5 days in a row, you get a t-shirt. I'm like, you got to do better than that for me to work out 5 days in a row. On Hell Week, you know, it's like, I need more than a t-shirt. I believe when God says, be obedient, and I will reward you, it's going to be well worth it. We're not going to get up to heaven and say, God, I lived an obedient life. I was loving my wife, and I was respecting my husband, and I treated my kids, and I raised them away, and God's going to go, here's a t-shirt. I didn't want it more than a t-shirt, Lord. No, he says, I'll give you a robe. I'll give you a white robe, and I'm going to clear, you're going to be clear, and you're going to be in my presence, and my glory is going to be upon you. The reward is going to be so worth it. There's just three things quickly that we're going to look at before we get into communion that I feel are so important when we think about this idea, rewarded obedience. Rewarded obedience. Okay, God wants me to be obedient. I'll get a reward. What do I need to think about? The first thing I want you to think about, how do you get this reward? How do you get it? Very, very plain in verse 12 again. And behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. According to his work, according to the things that we do in this life, a reward will be given to us. Now, some of us might look at this word and go, oh, yep, there it is. We have to do something in order to be eligible for heaven. That is so not true. What Jesus did on the cross for you gets you into heaven. The work that you do, the deeds that you exercise here on this earth, those are the things that get rewarded. And I believe with all of my heart that if you are a faithful Christian your entire life, never leading anyone to the Lord, never teaching a Bible study, if you're just faithful to God to do the thing that he's asked you to do, whether that's to be a parent or to just be a faithful Christian that is confident in God, I believe that's enough work for God to reward you. We don't, because we think sometimes, well, they're doing so much for the Lord and I'm not doing anything. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't look at someone else and say, well, man, they're so gifted in this area and they have the ability to do this. It just seems like they're always talking about God and they're always leading people to Christ. I'll never achieve that. Listen, you just be faithful. Jesus says, if you're faithful in the little things, don't worry, I'll give you other things to do. Just be faithful. So when we come to this word where he says, I will give to everyone according to their work, this is not, oh, I'm going to get there and God's going to go, that's all you did? No. We have to believe that God's going to go, thank you for doing that for me. Because that work that we do is sharing our faith with other people. It's being a real Christian in a day when real Christians, they're at a minimum. Our country's getting ready to make a big change on Tuesday, are we not? As Christians, it's business as usual. It's no different who's in the White House. It's going to maybe make our life a little harder. It might make our life a little easier. Who knows what's going to happen? But God's in control. So for us, it's just a Tuesday. It's just a Tuesday. But we need to be faithful to God, faithful to our Lord, thanking him for putting us into a country that has freedoms, but also stepping up and saying, I'm going to be that Christian that's putting a voice out there to saying, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I believe. I'm glad there's a world that I live in that maybe look at my faith as ridiculous, but I know the reward that's coming to my faithfulness. See, so number one, how do you get to this reward? Is by being obedient to Jesus, by being obedient to Jesus according to your works. If you look down at verse 14, he says, well, actually, it's the angel speaks up here, I believe, in verse 14. He says, blessed are those who do his commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Following God's word, following his commands, are a blessing. Our blessing. See, the world looks at it going, oh, I got to follow God's commands. That's going to be burdensome. That's going to limit me from having fun. If you've been a follower of Christ for a long time, you're blessed. And you know that. You're blessed that you know the Creator. You're blessed that you have a relationship with Jesus. You're blessed that you can get on your knees and pray and know you have God's attention at that very moment. You're blessed if your life has been touched by God, whether a healing or a peace that has come in your life. You're just blessed by it. Instead of looking at, oh, the commands are so burdensome, what does Paul say? His commands are not burdensome. His commands make sure I'm staying on the path that leads to victory, that leads to righteousness, that leads to a holy life. And we get rewarded for that obedience. We get rewarded for that work. See, I think there's two ways to look at this according to his works. What does this mean? There's two ways to look at this, and I think they both apply. Number one, he says to give everyone according to his work. I believe Jesus is saying, I have a reward to give you who serve me. I have a reward to give to you who serve me faithfully. Because Jesus said, listen, if you do anything in my name for the smallest of a child, the smallest, the weakest in faith, if you do any of these things for someone like this, you do it to me. So we serve the Lord by serving each other. We serve the Lord by helping each other and guiding each other. So that's the work. It's doing something for Jesus, whether it is leading a Bible study or leading someone to Christ or just being faithful. This is the work that he's asked us to do. We serve him. This life is our only opportunity to serve the Lord. When we get in heaven, we'll be praising him and worshiping him for sure. But there's not going to be any work to do. My goodness, the streets are gold. So this is our only opportunity to serve. And you know, if some of you are in here this morning and you're going, I don't really do a lot for the Lord, let it be a reminder. Let it be an encouragement to you that maybe there's someone in your workplace that could use some encouragement. Maybe there's somebody in your neighborhood that could use a visit. Again, it's looking for those opportunities, not forcing it and not going, oh, I have to do this. No, you don't have to. You get to. You got to show the love of Christ, that someone else's life would be impacted like your life has been impacted. That's the beauty of it. I believe that Jesus is also implying, Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Wendy, if you could put that up, yeah. speaking about the judgment seat of Christ. Paul talks about it to the Corinthians. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done." Notice, whether good or bad. None of us are going to get there and all of us stuff we've done is good. Sometimes we've done some things and we've had the wrong motives, right? Maybe we wanted the glory for ourselves. Doesn't qualify. But there's a time where we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and God's going to look at our life and he's going to basically say, everything that you did for me, you're going to be rewarded for. And everything you didn't do for me, I can't give you a reward for that. So we're going to be rewarded by we stand before God for the works that we've done. So this morning is an encouragement for us to be obedient and to be busy about our Father's business. Listen, I know we've got a lot of other things going on, especially this time of year as we're ramping up for the holidays. You know, holiday lights on the house, Christmas trees, turkeys, whatever it is. Busy, busy. But I always like to remind us during this time of year that we still serve Christ. We still serve Jesus. And so when you have those holiday parties and when you get together with your friends, bring Jesus into them. Bring Jesus up in a conversation. Watch what God will do with your life because that's living in obedience to Christ. The second thing I see, not only is it the things that we do according to your work, but I think the first and the most important thing that we can do is put our faith in Jesus. That is the greatest work, to put our faith in Christ. You know, Jesus says it this way in John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said to him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." That's the work. Believe in Jesus, because I believe once we take that first step of believing and putting our faith in Christ, then the rest follows. Because we so want to serve the Lord because he's done so much for us. So that is the work that we must do. We must be busy about our Father's business, but we also must continually have faith in God. And that's what I believe the church needs in a great way today, is encouraging people to constantly have faith in Jesus, constantly come back and believe in Jesus. In the middle of this week, when things get a little crazy, and who knows after Tuesday night what's going to happen, and things Wednesday at work, everybody's, that's when you just kind of, oh, thank God I serve Jesus. Thank God I believe in Jesus. You just keep bringing yourself back to him because we can get all frazzled. We can get all worried. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What, my stocks, you know, my savings, you know, my carry permit, my, you know, what am I going to, what are they going to take away from me? I serve Jesus. I serve Jesus. And we find that peace. God will take care of us. God will show us. And I notice, again, in verse 14, that we're blessed if we follow his commandments. You know, the reality is that when we're obedient to God, it's a proof of our faith. It's a proof of our belief. Being obedient doesn't keep us saved. Being obedient shows us that we are saved, right? It's a proof. It's not a requirement for salvation. I'm very glad for that. Aren't we glad we don't have to keep working every week to make sure I'm still saved? Am I still saved? There's religions out there that you got to keep doing stuff if you want to think you're still saved. Man, I'm glad that I can say, Jesus, you did it for me. Praise God. And I'm going to be busy about it, and I'm going to just walk in peace because you've finished the work for me. Praise God for that. We're going to be back to Revelation 22, but flip over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll pick up in verse 22. John 14 and 22. We read, make sure I'm in the right spot here, 14 and 22, here it is. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word," keeping his commandments, that's what that is. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Look at verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I wanted to read verse 26 because Jesus is saying, listen, if you follow my word, you're going to show your love for me. If you follow the things that I've told you, that shows you that you are being mindful of the things that I've asked you to do. And it shows your love. Jesus himself showed his love by dying on a cross for us that our sins could be forgiven. We show love back by being obedient to his word. And then we got to realize that, listen, we don't have to memorize everything that the Bible says. I got to remember every one of his words so I'm making sure that I'm walking the way I should. Jesus says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to come into you. And he's going to remind you everything that I've said. Have you ever been in a situation in your life when all of a sudden a verse just comes to your mind? It's like, whoa, I needed that verse. It's like, because the Holy Spirit's reminding you what you've read in the Word of God. It's bringing it back to your remembrance. I love that because I forget things. I'm getting so frustrated at being 51 years old. It's like, Lord, please anoint my mind because I am forgetting things. And it's like, but I have a Holy Spirit that will remind me all things that Jesus has said. It takes the pressure off. We still want to read, we still want to study, we certainly want to memorize as best we can, because that gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to use the things that are in us. But the Holy Spirit's there. I know what's going on in your life. I know what God wants you to do. I know the things that he wants you to do in your life, and I'm going to remind you of what to do. I'm going to bring you back to that place of remembering. Guys, so important. On Thursday night, we were talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And to me, this is one of the greatest things, that the Holy Spirit will remind us what we need in that moment. It's that little prayer that says, God, I need your help. Show me. Teach me. I, to this day, am still amazed when I pray a simple prayer, like, Lord, I'm going to have a really tough week. I've got a lot of appointments that I need to meet. I've got to do some studying. I got to get ready for certain Bible studies. But I've got to meet with people. Lord, help me. Help me with the time. Help me to be diligent with my time. And time after time after time, God is so faithful. God is so faithful. I love what James says. We have not because we ask not. If you are struggling here this morning, I encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit that's in you to help you. That's his job. He brings conviction when we need it, but he also brings encouragement when we need it. Let the Holy Spirit encourage you this week to be obedient. Help him to remind you. In order to be rewarded for your obedience, you got to be obedient, and the Holy Spirit will remind you, you're not being obedient right now. You're not being obedient right now. In this area of your life, you need to be obedient, and the Holy Spirit will remind you. And then be responsible. Step up. We receive this reward because of our obedience to Jesus. The second thing, if you go back to Revelation, still in verse 12, the second thing, how do we get this reward? How do we get it? Certainly by our obedience, but look again in verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Now, this is really basic stuff, but I want us to get a hold of it. The reward is with Jesus, okay? The only place to get the reward is by going to Jesus. And I think it's very simple, but it's very important that we understand that. Because many times we want to go everywhere else to get something. When Jesus is saying, I have my reward, it's with me, you come to me. Come to me. In a few verses next week, we're going to talk about it, how we're all, the church and the Spirit, say, come. Inviting people to come to Christ. Well, we as followers of Christ, as believers, we must come to Christ in our time of need. So are we coming? Are we going to the source of the reward? Because I believe Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And what does he say? I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just saying that verse just brings peace over my mind. God, if I just come to you, I'll find rest. Even in the turmoil of life, even in the busyness of life, I'm going to find rest, even in the busyness of the holidays. Whew. Yes, you will find rest. It's there. It's available to us if we come to Jesus. Now, I want to give us some examples in the Word of God of how we come to Jesus, because right now, we can't go to Jesus like I could go to Alan right now. Hi, very nice to see you. Jesus isn't sitting in here in the physical, so how do we come to Jesus? We have to come to him in the spiritual. right? So a couple things that made me think about people in the Bible that came to Jesus. We think about the old woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. And through a crowd of people, she made her way to Jesus and just touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says immediately she was healed. Now, when we studied the book of Leviticus, we found out that anyone who had a flow of blood was considered unclean. Totally changes that whole picture of this woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was unclean for 12 years. And it says she spent all of her livelihood on doctors and people but could not get any help. So this woman was known in the community, and she was known as the woman that was unclean. And she had to make her way through a crowd to get to the hem of Jesus. For us to come to Jesus, sometimes we got to push through the crowd. Sometimes we got to push through anything that might hinder us from getting to Christ. Whatever that is, if it's a person, if it's an experience, if it's a conviction, if it's a doubt, well, I can't go to Jesus, I'm not holy enough. Listen, you need to get to Jesus that you would just touch the hem of his garment, he would heal you. And listen to this. Though you can't touch Jesus physically now, listen, he can touch you. He can touch you. This woman had such faith that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. And her faith healed her. We need to come to Jesus no matter what. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let any human being hinder you from going to Jesus. You may have friends. You may have family that says, forget that Jesus stuff. That doesn't work. You don't doubt it because Jesus is your source. He says, my reward is with me. Your answer is with Jesus. That's number one. Number two. We remember the story in the Bible where there were four men who had a friend who was a paralytic. And they come to where Jesus was inside a building teaching a Bible study, right? They couldn't get in. It was so many people there. What did these guys do? They climb on the roof, punch a hole in the roof, and drop their friend down to get to Jesus. And Jesus looks at this guy coming down through. He goes, this is amazing faith. They have amazing faith that they're going to drop him before me. And this just shows me that sometimes in our lives, we need other people to help us get to Jesus. We need some friends. We need some people to help us be reminded of what is going on with our relationship with God. Because there are times in our lives where the things that are happening to us is just because we're neglecting our relationship to Christ. We're not spending time with him. We're not thinking about him. We're just going through the motions because we're so busy. And maybe there's someone in your life to say, when's the last time you spent time with the Lord? When's the last time you did a devotion and really paid attention to it? It does us no good to just read our devotions and check it off our list. You read your devotion, you read the word, and you let it speak to your heart. And so here are these guys dropping their friend. Listen, this friend was paralyzed and bedridden. No way he's getting to Jesus. Thank God he had friends to bring him to Jesus. Are there friends in your life that are taking you closer to Christ? And maybe there's friends in your life that are taking you farther from him. A consideration for all of us. And then finally, lastly, I love the story of Mary and Martha sending word to Jesus that the one that Jesus loved was sick. Lazarus was sick. Don't you love the story that Jesus delayed 3 days? Have you ever asked Jesus to do something in your life, only to hear God say, you just wait a little longer. We don't want to wait. We want things to happen. And so for Mary and Martha, Jesus' delay was basically said, well, I guess that's it. Nothing more we can do. See, we can't allow circumstances to dictate God's outcome. Jesus comes and says, listen, girls, if you just had faith, sometimes God's delays are so that he gets greater glory. His delays are give us greater glory and make us trust in him. Trust me, I've been waiting for some things in my life, and I'm waiting for God to open the doors. He wants a lot of glory, apparently. Paul understood this concept of being obedient to the Lord. And our last stop is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Pick up in verse 10. This is such a powerful verse. Philippians 3 and verse 10. Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection What a beautiful picture that is, to know Christ and know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, identifying with suffering, we probably can all identify, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but look, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul encouraging believers that trust in Christ, trust in his life, trust in his death, trust in his resurrection, and push forward. Go for it. Notice it says, Paul says, I'm forgetting the things that are behind. How hard is it for us to forget our past? How hard is it for us to just let the past go, whether it's a bad past or even a good past? See, you might be remembering years ago when things were great and you're living there. You're missing the now. You're missing the future. To press on, to push forward, and to go for that prize, that goal. Jesus is that source. And Paul is telling us there today to keep on keeping on. Keep on fighting the good fight. Keep on seeking after the Lord. Whatever it is that has to happen, you press on. Don't encourage people to press on this week. Encourage yourself to press on this week. Because that's what we need today. Because it's so easy just to sit and to wait and to see what happens. It's one of my greatest convictions as a Christian to not just be sitting around waiting for God to answer my prayers, but to keep on moving and watch him answer my prayers as I'm moving. Keep on moving. Keep on being faithful. The enemy wants you to stop. The enemy wants you to stand. The enemy wants you to sit down and not move any longer. But God, by his power of the Holy Spirit, inside of you, he's saying, no, you just keep on moving and I will use you. God can use a moving target. God can use you if you keep on moving. Forget those things that are behind. Forget those things that are dragging you down and press on for the prize that's ahead. Look at the target. Look at the goal. Look at Christ and run to him. That's the beauty of it. How do we get to this reward? By obedience. Where do we go? We go to Jesus. And the third and the last thing, it's real simple. It's who can get this reward. Again, verse 12, Revelation 22. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to who? Everyone according to his work. To give to everyone according to his work. Everyone means everyone. Everyone in this room is qualified. You are included in everyone. It's available to you. And it's so easy for us to disqualify ourselves or to think there's no reward for us because we haven't done anything. But Jesus is saying, my reward, I have it and it's available. And what I like to remind myself is, Jesus doesn't run out of rewards. Notice this, for everyone who comes, for everyone who's obedient, for everyone that does their work, I have a reward for you. We're never going to get to heaven and go, man, I just ran out. That's not God. He has unlimited, infinite resources. So our reward is going to be given to us if we're obedient. It's going to be given to us if we come to Jesus. It's going to be given to every single one that serves the Lord with all of their heart, being faithful. That's a beautiful thing. So as we close and enter into this time of communion, I want us to spend some time asking the Lord, Lord, where in areas of my life do I need to be obedient or more obedient in? What are those areas that I've been struggling with? Lord, help me to be more obedient to you. Not because I'm going to get a reward, but because it pleases you. And because you want to reward your kids. You parents want to reward your kids for good behavior, right? Well, most of you anyway. Matt, maybe not. We want to reward our kids for good behavior. God wants to reward us for good behavior. And listen, at the end of it all, it's all by his power that we can do anything for him anyway. I mean, how can you take from the Lord a reward that you really didn't have much to do with? But God, you did all that. He's saying, I know. I was there to help you. God just wants willing hearts that will be obedient to his word. So in this time, as we close in prayer and then enter in this time of communion, let's go to the Lord and just say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that my salvation is secure in you. But Lord, give me opportunities to serve you and to be obedient. Father, we thank you for your word today. How grateful we are that you tell us before the end comes that you want to reward us and that your reward is with you. If we would simply be faithful, if we would simply make ourselves available to you, God, you would make the way clear. You would provide every need that we have. And so I pray for us that this message would resonate in our hearts throughout the week, that we would be looking to the left and to the right and seeing those opportunities that you have for us to love on people, to encourage people, especially if they're feeling like life is just meaningless. God, help us to share with them there is such meaning to life when you have a life with Jesus. So I pray for every single person in this room. Pray blessings upon them. I pray for their obedience. I pray, God, that together we would walk humbly with our God, doing justly, for that is your will for us. So as we enter into this time of communion, God, I pray that our eyes would be fixed upon you, the author and finisher of our faith, that you went to the cross, that you died for us, that we might live. So bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.